we're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
You can be seated. We have a very special surprise for you, a very special performance, and you can be seated. I just want you to just sit back and enjoy this. Our care pastor, Pastor Marshall, has some hidden gifts and abilities, and he wants to bring to you some special holiday music to just give you some hope in your heart. And then after this, I'm going to try my best to preach to you.
As they say, all glory to God. Amen.
AG2G.
Amen. Thank you very much. For those of you who have been around Redemption Church for a while, you may recall that this is one of my favorite times of year. I really like the music of this season. And in years past, I had sort of a tradition to sing one of my favorite Christmas songs for y'all. I was asked not to sing that ever again, but in the interest, around here at Redemption Church, we like to encourage people to try and grow, to try and learn new things, and step out in faith. And so this year, I've been taking some lessons, and I'm going to try something different. I've got some holiday music I'd like to play for you. Please forgive me. I'm a little bit nervous because I'm still kind of new at this. Pastor Chris said I should definitely not say that he's been giving me lessons, so I'm not saying that at all. I'm going to avoid that, and I hope you are blessed. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. How about that, everybody? Oh, man. That was, what a blessing. Welcome to Redemption Church, everyone. We are a young, non-denominational church in Plano, Texas, and everyone is welcome in here. Everybody's welcome here, regardless your piano skill levels or anything that. We believe that Jesus is alive. We believe that. Can we get the lights up out there? I just feel like I can't see you people. I want to lift those lights up there. We believe that Jesus is alive and well. We know that God can change a life and that God can change your life today. Before today is over, we are going to spend some time talking to God. That's guaranteed. Before today's over, we're going to be spending some time talking to the Lord. All right. We're in the second week of our Hope for the Holiday series. Last week, we told you that hope shows up. Do you remember that?
Yes.
We also told you that above everything, this world needs hope. Mary carried a hope within her that transformed the hopelessness around her. We talked about Elizabeth and how the baby leapt within her. If you missed last week's, you need to go check it out on the website, redemption-church.com. I want to remind you that there is hope, that you need this hope, and that you need to be a source of this hope. This hope needs to actually be coming out of your life. We are to carry hope within us, just like Mary did. We should be a source of hope to all the world around us. Today I want to tell you that hope speaks up. Why don't you say that? Hope speaks up.
Hope speaks up.
The world is loud. Uh-huh. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
How about this? Evil is loud. Hatred is loud.
Yes.
Pride and greed, is loud. Devastation, death, destruction, loud. What I mean by this is that when something is loud, it doesn't need to be pointed out. Would you agree? For example, when my wife and I have the foolish idea of having a nice family dinner out of the house at a restaurant, and our children, our sweet, blessed, angelic children, get a little bit loud, right? No one has to point out to us that they've gotten to be loud. No one has to tell us, oh, by the way, they have now set a curtain on fire. No one needs to tell us that. No one has to tell us they are loud because we realize that already. In fact, no one does that. Instead, everyone in the restaurant just gives you a sideways look, just kind of like, you getting this? No one says it, but everybody looks it. They all look at it. That's how it happens. And that look just kind of says, hey, buddy, you know, maybe you should do something about the three children that are wrestling on top of my appetizer right now. I'm trying to enjoy my blooming onion. You see, loud things don't need to be pointed out. All right. You don't need me to tell you the world's a dangerous place today, do you? No. Terrorism is plenty loud. Yep. Murder and violence, you don't need me to point that out. You don't need me to tell you that relationships are difficult or that marriages are at a all-time risk of failure. Because you know that the world's backstabbing amongst friends is deafeningly loud. I don't need to tell you the statistics on divorce. You know that they aren't good. You don't need me to tell you that you've got problems inside of you. Because your fear is so loud. Your lack of peace screams at you while you're trying to go to sleep. You've tried only to fail, and maybe no one else sees it, but you hear the thunderous thud of your failed life change attempts. You don't need me to tell you, because loud things don't need to be pointed out. Car crashes, they announce themselves not with a letter in the mail, but with this huge, loud explosion. Bombs do not knock at the door. They explode and they shake the earth. This is how things work. The world, with all of its problems, it is loud. In the beginning, God created a quiet garden. The first few chapters of your book focus on this place called Eden. And it is not a loud place. It was a place of peace. We don't have one record of someone screaming in the Garden of Eden. There were no bangs, crashes, or explosions, or arguments in the Garden of Eden. None of that stuff. It was quiet. It was peaceful. It was calm. But that subtle speech from a serpent, it changed all of that, didn't it? You know the story, right? And then after the serpent's speech and sin, we have these different sounds arise. They're like hurried whispers from Adam and Eve. Maybe you could just kind of imagine them saying, we have to hide. We have to hide. Quick, cover yourself. We're naked. We have to cover ourselves. Oh, no. I think I hear God coming. We got to hide. That's a different kind of sound. This like hushed, like whisper. There's something about when you're in a hurry and you're whispering, it's not really a whisper anymore. It's like, hey, we got to get out of here. It's like everyone heard that. That's the kind of sound that's happening in this once quiet garden. And it goes from that to the sickening sound of Cain killing Abel. We don't know exactly how he killed Abel. We have pictures, artists have drawn pictures where he takes a rock and maybe hits him in the head. What that sound would be like would be sick. Then that awful sound of the breath of life leaving Abel. The first time that has ever happened on the face of the planet, life just leaves a human being. In that moment, is followed by heartbreaking wails, screams of a mother and a father who will never, in their time on earth, be with Abel again. From that moment, the world has been in a constant crescendo. From that moment, the world has a continued increase in volume, just getting louder and louder over time. The volume only grows, and you don't need me to point this out. Some of you, you remember, you have this conversation. All, it wasn't this way when we were kids. And it's like 5 years ago for some of you. It's like decade ago for some of you. But now you're in this situation. It wasn't like this. It wasn't this crazy. I mean, we had some problems, but it wasn't this. It's like it's growing. It's getting worse. And it's not going to stop. With the growing amount of loudness in the world, there was only one source of hope in the middle of the loudness. And here it is, just very simply. God would send a message of hope. And his message of hope, we can call that Messiah. Say Messiah.
Messiah.
Messiah. Also, the Greek, it's the word Christ. So Messiah is Hebrew. Christ is a Greek word coming from a transliteration. But Messiah means anointed one. That means Messiah is the one that's chosen. That means that the Messiah is the one that is picked out, empowered to do the one thing that can save all of us from the hopeless situation of sin. The Messiah is the anointed one. Anointed for what? Anointed to save the world. Now behold the Lamb of God who's come to take away the sins of the world. This is the one message of hope in the entire world. Sure, you got politicians come up and they've got a message of hope. But we know by now how that plays out. We know that there's really no hope in that at all. There, I'm telling you today that there is one message of hope. And it is the Messiah. It is Jesus come to save. And in the middle of a loud, evil, hateful world, a calm voice speaks up. And this voice carries truth in it. This voice carries love in it. And this voice begins to speak. One of the first places this voice speaks is in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And I will put enmity between you, serpent, and the woman, and between your offspring, serpent, and hers. And he will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. This is hope speaking up of a Messiah that is to come. Messiah would be the seed and the descendant of Eve, and the serpent would strike the heel of our Messiah, but the Messiah would crush the head of the serpent. Where did that prophecy, where was that prophecy fulfilled? On the cross, where Jesus had his heel crucified and pierced, but he crushed the head of sin right there. There's another voice that rings out, and it tells us a little bit more full picture of this Messiah. It tells us that Messiah would also be the Son of God. That's in Psalm 2:7. This voice comes up and says, prophetically, you are my son. Today I have become your father. And when Jesus is baptized, what voice rings out? The same voice that speaks here. And it said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. This was a message by a prophet way, way, way before the coming of Jesus. And it was a message of hope. In this loud world, here was a message, a very calm voice bringing hope. The Messiah would be born of a virgin. Not only that, Messiah would be God with us. This is what the voice says in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Who does the sign come from?
The Lord
himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Wait, it doesn't say Jesus there. Can somebody clue us in? What does Emmanuel mean? It means God with us, and we'll call him God
with us. Right here, Messiah will be born miraculously of a virgin. But not only that, the identity of this Messiah, he's unlike any other human that's ever come to earth. He is actually God with us. The voice of hope continues and tells us that Messiah would be light that shines on those in darkness. Isaiah chapter 9 and 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light on those living in the land of the shadow of death. A light has dawned. John saw Jesus and realized, he tells us in John chapter 1, he says, and in him was light. In him was light and life. He was the light of all men. Amen. The Messiah would bring a new covenant, this voice told us. A new way to come into relationship with God. Jeremiah 31 and 31. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And sure enough, Jesus shows up and he's at the Last Supper and he holds up that cup and he says, this is my new covenant with you. This is the blood of my new covenant. The voice tells us more. The voice says, if that's not enough clarification for you, maybe this will help you. He's going to be born in this town of Bethlehem. Yes. Does that narrow things down a little bit? Micah chapter 5 verse 2. But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. That baby laying in the manger, its origins are not from 5 minutes ago. Its origins are from old, from ancient times. The Ancient of Days laying in a manger. What a hopeful story. So you're looking for hope. You better had your eyes trained on Bethlehem. If that's not amazing enough, how about this one? This is really remarkable. Messiah would be called out of Egypt. He's born in Bethlehem, but he's actually going to be called out of Egypt. How did that happen? Well, Hosea 11 and 1 says, when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. How was that prophecy ever fulfilled? Well, Joseph and Mary, they ran from their life from a wicked king, and they ran to what nation? They ran to Egypt. And when the time was right, God had them come from Egypt back to Jerusalem. Out of Egypt I have called my son. Throughout the Old Testament, this is only a slight scratching on all the prophetic utterances that are speaking hope very calmly to a crazy loud world. And sometimes when it's loud, it's hard to hear the quiet thing, isn't it? Throughout the Old Testament, prophet after prophet declared this message of hope. And it's this one central message. It's not a bunch of messages. It's one central message. That Christ, the Messiah, would come. That message was clear that he would come. It was clear how he would come. It was clear where he would come. It was clear what miraculous and hopeful things he would do. It was clear who he was going to save everyone. It was clear. Hope makes things clear. The loudness of the world is confusing. Look over there. Look over there. It's a new Android phone. No, sucker. It's a new iPhone phone. This world, forget, we're not divided anymore by Republican and Democrat. Let's get real. We're divided by iOS versus Android, I think. I'm preaching now. The world's loud. It's hard to get things understood in your head. If you try to, like, fix your home, I'll go to Google. Google, what should I do about my son, the way he's acting? You just wasted the next 10 hours. Good luck, because you're going to find 20,000 different blogs that all say something different. You're going to find 20,000 books that all say something different. And they're all yelling other things at you. And yet you'll leave Google going, I don't know what I'm going to do. That's the world that we're living in. And that's just simple. That's like seeking knowledge. How much more complicated is the war over a human soul in the belly of a woman? What's that all about? How much more complicated is the value of a human soul and the death penalty versus not that? How much more complicated is how we should live our life and how we should treat a dollar and how we should care for people and how we should follow Jesus and how we should do any of these things? How much more complicated is that? Don't go to Google for that. Let me save you time. Open your Bible. All right. So you have this voice, this very calm voice, this voice that doesn't need to yell. This voice was not a Pentecostal preacher. It was very calm. And then 400 years of silence. 400 years of silence. 400 years where God was absolutely silent. There's a silent God, a loud world, 400 years. God was silent. The world just kept getting louder. I'm glad I didn't live in that 400-year time. God was silent, but mothers still wept bitterly for their son. Souls still entered the grave with no hope of redemption. And there was silence. And people were looking. They're going, well, where's the next prophecy? Where's the next message? God, where's the next miracle? Where is the Messiah? Now, this is the part of the Christmas story that never gets told. It's not told because, well, nothing happens. Let me tell you about the part of the story where nothing happens. 400 years long. Can you imagine if in this sermon I spent 10 minutes being silent? Sat a chair up here and just stared at you for 10 minutes? What about 5 minutes? How long would it be before me being silent up on stage, you thought, maybe I have better things to do? Maybe I should just act like I need to go to the bathroom? Maybe we just tap the wife's shoulder and goes, I'm going to go, and then you meet me out there. We won't go together. You know, we'll formulate a plan. How long, Mr. Podcast listener, would you listen to absolute silence before stopping? 10 seconds? I bet you'd be off on YouTube and gone to some other weird little thing on the side where they're talking about Britney Spears conspiracies. Right? How long would you put up with silence? 400 years. No visitation, 400 years, no prophecy, 400 years, no promise, 400 years, no miracles, 400 years. If a generation is 35 years, that means there are over 11 generations in that 400 years. That's like, okay, you got your dad, you got your granddad, help me, you got your great, 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 great granddad. That's the span of God being silent. And so when somebody says, what did granddad believe? You'd say, well, granddad never knew about God. He never heard him talk. Well, what about great granddad? Same thing. All the way back 11 times. That was the situation they lived in. In the middle of a loud world, when so many had stopped believing, the silence is broken when hope spoke up. Hope speaks up. We're going to do some Bible reading together. If you got your Bibles, go ahead and open them up. If not, we'll read on the screen together. We're going to be looking at Luke. We're going to spend some time in Luke, verse 8. And we're going to read for a while. I want you to read with me Luke chapter 1, verse 8. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God. Zechariah is a priest. Very good. Verse 9. He was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. So he's gone by himself into the temple to burn incense. Verse 10, and when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing right at the side of the altar of incense. 400 years silence broken in this moment. Can you imagine what he was experiencing in that moment? There's an angel in here. Verse 12, when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and he was gripped with fear. Oh no, this is the death angel. I've heard about him. I've done wrong. Did I turn this upside down wrong? I'm doing something wrong. I didn't touch the showbread, I promise. Verse 13, but the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. That's right. We're not talking about Jesus yet. We're talking about John. And he will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. Verse 17. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years. How can I be sure of this? The angel answered, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. Verse 20. And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time. Dang, what a story. Right. How can I be sure about this? He's like, dude, angel, I'm in the presence of God. You're asking me this question? Out of all the questions about eternal things you could be asking me, you're asking me, how can I be sure about this? We fall into this problem all the time. You can be in the very presence of God in a worship service where God puts something in your heart to do something miraculous and powerful, and he gives you word by word instruction to do it, and you go, yeah, but how can I believe that this is? There comes a time where it's okay to ask questions, but there comes a time when you ought to just say, okay, angel, okay, God, okay, word of God, okay, prophecy, okay, presence of God that I can't explain, okay, miracle, sign, and wonder. Amen. And he had to be silent. The angel Gabriel brought the message that Messiah was coming. John would prepare the way of the Lord Jesus. Zechariah did not believe, so the Lord took away his voice until his child was born. It was almost like God saying, listen, this child, this whole thing I'm setting up is all set up on faith. If you don't have the faith, you just at least shut up. Because you can speak some negative things. How about you just be quiet? And it's not until it is time to name the baby John that he's able to speak again. He hasn't been able to speak for all these months. And they look and say, what name do you want him to be? And he goes, John. He's able to speak again. Gabriel appeared next with this message of hope to Mary. We read some of this last week, Luke 1:26, in the sixth month. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a small town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. We read that last week. We talked about the burden that Mary faced. We asked, how could she ever convince her fiancé to believe that she was a pregnant virgin? You remember that? Mary would need hope to speak up on her behalf. See, what you're saying, it's too crazy and too unbelievable. You only believe it by faith. So what you need sometimes is for faith to speak up on your behalf. When you need hope, God will speak up on your behalf. And this is what she does with the very person that needs to hear it the most, Joseph. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Verse 19, because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to a public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Right there is the evidence you need that he does not believe her. He loves her enough not to publicly shame her or publicly have her executed and stoned. But at the same time, he don't believe it. Look at somebody say, he don't believe it. He don't believe. We have men right here in this story that are having trouble believing. We have Zechariah and we have Joseph. But watch what Joseph does when an angel visits him. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Verse 21, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Verse 22, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. Verse 23, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. We read that in Isaiah, didn't we? Which means God with us. Verse 24, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. He didn't pull the Zechariah. He didn't wake up and say, well, that was weird. God, was that really you? Maybe you could send another angel to me, and if they sang some random song, hit me, baby, one more time, then I'll believe. We're on a Britney Spears thing, I guess. Is that what we're doing? All right. No, he believes it. He woke up and he said, well, all right then. All right then. Man, when hope shows up, you ought to grab a hold of it. When hope shows up with the promise, you ought to say, all right. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to figure it out. You just have to grab hold of it and hold on. And I trust you, everything gonna be all right. When Jesus was born, hope just kept speaking. Luke chapter 2, verse 7. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, watching, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. You get this picture? God's beautiful glory shows up, and everybody's scared out of their wits. This keeps showing up. This is just one of these things. Let me tell you, we think we understand the glory of the Lord. We don't, because whenever they got a dose of the glory, they're like, whoa, this is freaky, man. God's glory is stronger and more powerful than anything you've ever seen Hollywood pull off. There is an essence happening right there that is beyond anything you can imagine. And these shepherds saw the glory of the Lord shining around them. They were terrified. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid. See, that's the other thing you need to reach out and understand. Although when God shows up, it puts you in a different frame of mind. He shows you different things that you're not comfortable with that take you completely out of your comfort zone. And then the next words he's probably going to say is, don't freak out. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. I am with you. Amen. How many know that's how God operates? Man, have you ever been in a situation you didn't know what you were going to do, but the Lord just let you know, hey, I'm with you. Cool your jets. Stop freaking out. It's going to be all right. That's how the Lord works. That's how the Lord works. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger. Manger, you say? That's crazy. He ought to be in something else. No, this baby is not like anything else. He's in a manger. Verse 13. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God. There's a heavenly angelic choir, and they're all praising God. And you can think what you want. You can think they're just like singing this really calm little hymn. Mary, did you know? Like. I think they are coming unglued. I think it's heaven's ruckus. I think it's heaven's loudness coming on display. That's just how I feel about it. But they're singing a little bit like this. They're glory to God in the highest. The biggest, the highest, the largest, the heaviest glory you got. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. Verse 15, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem. That's a good idea. Let's go to Bethlehem. When the Lord gives you hope, why don't you just say, why don't we do what the preacher said? Why don't we do what the Word of God said? Why don't we do what we felt in prayer to do? Why don't we just go ahead and do it? Let's put it in action now. Let's go. Why don't we pull up the phone right now and call that person that God put on our heart? Why don't we just go right now and do it? Let's go to Bethlehem.
That's good. Yeah.
God's got hope for you. Do you have an action in response to his hope?
All right.
Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And the shepherds, they go and they're drawn. When they come, they're then drawn to worship. And they worship him. They kneel down. They worship Jesus right there. Jesus was brought a time later, like the eighth day. He was brought to the temple. And a priest named Simeon saw the child. And hope had spoken to Simeon. Luke chapter 2, verse 27, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law was required, circumcision. Verse 28, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. I imagine even while he's saying that, he's thinking about what Isaiah said in chapter 9, verse 2, about the light has shone on those in darkness and those that are in the valley of the shadow of death, that the light has shone on. This is the light right here. This is the salvation. This is the hope I've been praying about. Here it is. It's in my hands. I'm holding it. There is a moment where hope isn't just this thing that's far off. There is a moment where you hold hope in your hands and it's right there and it's yours to have. It's yours to receive. It's yours to experience. It's not just an idea. It's not just somebody told me. There is the baby. Here it is. It's the salvation for all people. And what should you do in that situation? You should praise God. Praise God is what you should do. Praise God. Have you received that light? Have you received that baby Jesus? Have you received this Christ? Then you ought to praise God. And this is a small little story, but I love this story, so I threw it in. An old prophetess. She's a female. Female prophets. How about it? An old prophetess named Anna heard hope speak. Luke chapter 2, 38. Coming up to them at the very moment, she gave thanks to God. And she spoke about the child to all who are looking forward to redemption of Jerusalem. This old lady named Anna was looking for hope. And she's just walking around the temple and she sees him and she gives praise to God and she goes and runs and tells everybody that'll listen about the redemption of Israel. She's the first one to go preach Jesus, y'all. She's the first one to go preach redemption right there. Hope spoke to Zechariah. Hope spoke to Elizabeth. Hope spoke to Mary and Joseph. Hope spoke to shepherds. Hope spoke to Simeon and Anna. God also spoke to those that were far away in the east. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born, King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and we have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. And all Israel was with him. All Israel with him. When he had called together all the people's chiefs, priests, and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. You see, this was a guy who was a Jew. This was a guy who claimed to believe the word of God. This was a guy who claimed to know what the prophet said. But when it came for the time of all hope, hope was being born in his backyard, and he had no idea hope was there. He had no idea hope was in Scripture. He knew nothing. So he has to ask, hey, where's hope at? What does that say? All right. And they knew. They said in Bethlehem in Judea, they replied. Get this. For this is what the prophet has written. What is it about these wise men, these magi, that they knew what the dude that was a king should have known? The dude that said he loved Jehovah God, what he should have known. Let me tell you, you don't put someone down because they're from far off from your faith. Because God might be talking to them a way that they are hearing him where you ought to be hearing him. The verse says, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. That was Micah 5:2. We read it earlier. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go worship him. Liar. Liar. He was going to kill him. He had killed many babies. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. I want you to get this. This is no ordinary star, because that you fix your attention on a star and it's just there. But this star moved. This star didn't just give them a direction. This star was the latitude and the longitude. It set shop up above the Christ child. So that they knew exactly where he was. You can't get like a three-dimensional idea from looking at a star, but this star gave a three-dimensional idea of where hope was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. When they opened their treasures and presented him with the gifts of gold and of incense, and of myrrh. Oh, Herod says he wanted to worship him. He did not. But these men who had never worshiped Jehovah God before, they see this Christ child, and now suddenly they are at the very feet of this Christ child worshiping Jehovah God. How powerful is that? Man. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Jared, they returned to their country by another route. These kings from the east were not of the Hebrew faith. They studied stars. Those that studied stars were drawn to worship constellations. They were drawn to worship pagan gods. They worshiped what the constellations look like. In the midst of their worship of false deities, hope called out to them. This is powerful. You get this. Hold on to it. Let it change you. God called to them in a deliberate way to get their attention and to draw them to the Messiah. And out of nowhere, he chooses a star. He chooses a star. This star led them from a far way off. This star led them to study the Word of God. This star led them to the prophet Micah. This star led them to the Word of God. This star led them to the Christ child. This star led them to their knees. This star led them to open up their treasures. This star led them to a complete life change. This star led them to where they were getting warnings and messages from God. So they left a different way than they came. This star led them. I tell you what, God can talk to anybody in any situation. Yeah. God can talk to people that are worshiping a false god, and he knows exactly how to talk to them to bring them right to the feet of the true God, Jesus Christ. He knows how to do it. That's my hope for the world. I love that. King Herod did not know this information, but pagan men from the east, they knew it. Hope will speak to people you never expected. These kings entered the house of Jesus and they worshiped. Hope will draw people to worship that you never expected. These kings, as they worshiped, they opened up their treasures and they gave gifts. Hope will bring gifts and treasures that no one could imagine. Hope speaks. Hope still speaks today. The message of Jesus is the same hope being spoken. And this Jesus tells us to speak that hope to people. Remember that loud things don't need to be pointed out. You remember that? The world is loud. Hope is not. Hope speaks calmly while evil shouts. Hope is easy to miss. Hope needs to be pointed out. An angel, a messenger of God, needed to point out what was going on. We need hope pointed out to us. We need hope explained to us. Let me point out hope to you today. There is hope for all of your sins to be forgiven and washed away. Forever. Whatever guilt is weighing on you could be gone forever. That's the hope we're talking about. There is hope for all your fear, all your weakness, and all your failure. You'll never be defined by those things again. There is hope for you that when you lift your hands in worship and singing, that hope takes residence in that worship. There is hope in this altar today. Do you know when you pray, there is hope. If you don't feel like you've got hope, you definitely shouldn't stay in your seat today. You should come to this altar and ask God, God, reveal your hope. Speak hope to me. There's hope for your problems today. There's hope for your family today. There's hope for the entire world today. There's hope. The world is loud, but when hope speaks up, things change. God's hope brings peace. It brings peace on earth. Goodwill toward men. There was 400 years of silence. Have you heard God talk in a while? When was the last time you heard him speak up? I believe he wants to speak to you today. You believe that? When was the last time you had a magi moment where you saw God so clearly and you just followed? When was the last time you had like a shepherd kind of experience where an angel came to you and you said, maybe I should do this thing that God has told me. Maybe that message comes to you and you say, maybe I should do this thing. Hope speaks up. Are you hearing it? Are you listening to all the loud ruckus around you so much that you can't hone in on the calm voice of hope today? These altars are open for you today. Why don't you come and pray? If you want special prayer, you come in the first 2 feet. We are so happy to pray with you. We believe this message of Jesus. We believe that he's alive and well. And we believe that whatever you need, he's got it for you today. Father, in Jesus' name, as you come, I'm going to pray. Father, meet every need that's in this house. Speak to people, God. Speak to shepherds today. Speak to Magi today. Speak to unbelieving Zechariah today. Lord, speak to Mary today. Speak to Joseph today. Speak to us all in this place, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, you've got powerful news for us. You've got powerful word for us. Let us receive it, God. Let us move to new places in you. Let us believe you like we've never believed you before. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray this. Come on, we're going to sing. We're going to continue talking to God in this house.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.